Welcome to In Faith Network Radio. Celebrate Christ with us as we go behind the scenes of Christian entertainment to reveal hidden blessings and share with the Christian community. In Faith Network Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to In Faith Network Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Watson, and I hope everyone is having a wonderful week so far. My son had his 17th birthday yesterday, and aside from being awed that I even have a son that old, I am truly blessed that I get to watch the man he's becoming. He's a teenager still, so of course there are times when he's not always filled with happiness, and I get a lot of annoyed looks and monotone replies coming my way. But personally, I can't wait to point out all of this stuff later, of course, as he grows up and tries to recount what a perfect child he was. So I am waiting patiently and biding my time. Well, my guest this evening knows how it feels to experience the unwavering love of parenthood as well as the steadfast love of being a child of God. She is an extraordinary and talented writer who brings creativity, a new sense of hope and restoration through the healing power of God to the kingdom by way of Christian fiction. She uses real-life everyday issues to exhort, motivate, and give comfort. She believes that there is nothing too hard for God, and through his love and his power, he can heal you in every area you hurt. And with God's help, all dark times can become our brightest moments. Her primary mission is to encourage everyone to experience the unfailing love of Christ, and she is not limiting herself by race, age, sex, denomination, or organization, believing instead that liberation comes from Christ, that comes from Christ is free to all. Her literary achievements include Mommy's Present, a short story appearing in the anthology The Midnight Clear, First Sunday in October, Cruisin' for Christ, Illusions, the novel Right Package, Wrong Baggage, which is really a cute title, and many more. Her 10th novel, Back to Me, releases this month. And in addition to that, my guest tonight is also an award-winning author, including a two-time winner of the Urban Review's Top Shelf Book Award, a two-time winner of Coffee Time Romance's Critical Review Award, and a three-time Black Expressions Book Club best-selling author. She has appeared on national best-selling lists multiple times and was nominated for the African American Literary Award Show in Christian Fiction category. It is my pleasure to welcome my guest tonight, Wanda B. Campbell. Welcome, Wanda.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to share with your listeners, and I'm listening to you talk going, who is she talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. Like, who is that? She sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, it is great to have you on the show, and I am very excited that you were able to join us this evening. And let's kick off the evening with a little background about you. Wanda, can you tell your listeners how you got started writing Christian fiction? And when did you know that being an author was something you just had to do?
Okay. Well, first off, I'm a wife, mother of three adult children, and grandmother. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area where I currently reside, and I've worked in healthcare for the past 22 years. Now, I began writing on a personal dare. I've been an avid reader since childhood, and I had voices in my head for years. Now, I'm not crazy, but you could probably relate to having voices in your head. So in late 2005, I just picked up a pen and a pad and said, you know, I'm going to start this task of removing these voices from my head and putting them on paper. At that time, I didn't have any ambition whatsoever of being an author. I just simply wanted to see if I could write a story as interesting as the ones I've been reading. So The Voices became my first novel, First Sunday in October. Then after that, the floodgates just opened, and writing just literally became my passion. I could not stop writing. And during that first year, that full year of 2006, I had finished six complete manuscripts, and it's been going ever since.
Wow. Wow. Now, that's a lot. Let's just say that one more time. Wow. Now, in addition to working in the healthcare industry, you now have Micah 6-8 Books, LLC. And for those of you listening out there, the website for that is www.micah68books.com. It's a small publishing house dedicated to promoting words that edify the kingdom. The company's first anthology, Home Again, Stories of Restored Relationships, was also nominated for a literary award. So, Wanda, what prompted you to start your own publishing company? And were there times when you wondered if it would be everything you envisioned?
Well, actually, the publishing company started with my first book. My first novel, First Sun in October, was actually self-published.
Oh,
and
cool.
Later on that year, I won the short story contest on Kendra Norman Holmes' Cruising for Christ and for Illusions, and that landed a multi-book deal with a traditional publisher. So once I signed with Urban Christian, I kind of placed the publishing company on the back burner. But I've since revamped it. In 2010, I fully went live with it, and so far it's been great. I've had some great authors, and my main focus is to really help aspiring authors, people who normally wouldn't get a chance to get into the big doors and get seen, get their work seen, but don't necessarily have the knowledge or maybe the personality and discipline to put it out themselves. Mm-hmm. So far it's been really great, and eventually I plan to use it to help at-risk youth put their thoughts in print.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, before we get wrapped up in hearing more about Wanda, I'd like to let listeners know that our live chat session is open, and you're welcome to comment or ask questions there. You can call us at area code 646-200-4071. Or toll-free at 877-497-5906. And, of course, after the live show, we will post the podcast and Wanda's recap blog to readersentertainment.com. And for those listeners that want to learn more about Wanda as we're chatting with her, you can check out her website at www.wandabcampbell.com. So, Wanda, let's start with your latest release, Back to Me. Give readers a glimpse into the life of Paige McDaniels.
Okay. Well, let me start by saying I've been in church most of my life, and I have operated in many capacities as a minister, mentor, and teacher. I have seen all types of people and situations. Now, that being said, Paige McDaniels is without a doubt my deepest character. I have never met a Christian as deep as her. Now, I know some close, but not that deep. She's what I would call an extreme Christian.
Wow.
Okay, so Paige is a successful business owner, but like many church folk, Paige has a past that she's not too proud of. And instead of accepting God's forgiveness, she's now a Christ follower, and she's in the church and everything. She still believes she has to, quote-unquote, work her way into right standing with God. So she lives by this stringent set of rules and regulation, and she lives this life of self-denial. And in the process, she becomes very judgmental, meaning she looks down on others who worship differently, who she goes to church every time the doors open. So if you only go on Sunday, she kind of looks down on you.
Yeah, right, looking at you like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, what's wrong with you? You know, she dresses very modest, so, you know, showing your knees may be a little problem for her, that kind of thing. So she's become rude in the process. She judges by outer appearance. She takes notes throughout the service, yet her understanding of Scripture is misguided. She sings praise and worship, yet she struggles with depression. So basically, in the process of trying to, quote-unquote, make herself forgiven before God, she loses sight of who she is. And what's worse is her warped thinking causes her not to accept God's forgiveness.
Wow. So in the book, Paige evolves into the very thing that she detests, a judgmental, self-righteous Christian. Do you think that's something that happens to some Christians in real life? And if so, how do you think they could avoid that pitfall of becoming too self-righteous and to instead realize in order to do the work that God has planned for you and to minister to others, you need to open yourself up and have the Lord's message, love, and purpose flow through you?
Well, now, I can't believe you asked that question because, you know, yeah, that happens every day. So I think we all have come across at least one, maybe two. I know several. In fact, I'm very transparent. I used to be one myself up until about 7 years ago. And every day I thank God for delivering me before I damaged too many people. And I would have missed out on some phenomenal individuals had I remained close-minded. So I know they exist. And I don't think it's on purpose, but I think because so many Christians have put God in this this individual that's sitting up there waiting for you to do right and you got to get all these brawny parts to be good, we've lost the love side of God. We're looking at the reprimand, and we just don't. God is just love. You know, He loves us just because He loves us. It's not like we can do so many things right that He's going to love us more. He just loves us, period. So people forget that. And so for me, through my personal journey, my first step was to realize that, first of all, God never called me to be the salvation judge or the salvation police. That's not my job. Okay, I don't do that. Your relationship is not for me to tell you, you know, you're wrong, right?
Right.
So that's His job. So my job, what He commanded me to do and what us to do is just to simply love everyone, period. And when He said that, He didn't say only love those who look like you, who only worship like you, who only dress like you or talk like you. He never said that. He just said to simply love. So then that's a
it's
hard
amazing
thing
how often that message gets lost.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard it said. I've heard now. Let me not say I'm a minister, so I don't mean to knock off on preachers. But I'm gonna just tell the truth. I've heard the message. God loves you, but where is that but? I've never seen that but in the Bible. He just loves us.
Right.
And we stop putting the but in there and just accept that. Yeah, God loves us. We didn't do anything to make Him love us. He just did it on His own, so we can't do anything to make Him stop. And we
right.
can just accept that. And if we say we have the mind of Christ and we are like Christ and His Spirit is in us, then we should be exemplifying that same thing and just love.
Wow.
So, and for me, I grew up in, I won't say the denomination, but I grew up where there was rules and regulations, and we were the only ones going to heaven. Everybody else was wrong. Well, that wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now that I've come into a better way, sometimes I just grieve when I think of the way I used to think. Because there were so many people that I would come across that because of what I was told or believed, I had this wall up, and I wouldn't even give them time of day. They just weren't right.
Right.
And that wasn't right. You know, so so I think we all just need to remember, and God is he's not as complex as we make Him. As believers, we just have to remember what God requires of us, which is very simple. He told us to live justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And that's Micah 6:8, where I get the name of my publishing company from. But if we
right.
do those things, we'll fulfill that purpose, and the love of God will flow through us, like you said.
Well, now tell us, Wanda, a little bit about your inspiration when writing your novels. Does it initially start with an idea or a gentle prompting from God, something you've seen in your day-to-day life, or a mixture of all of these?
All of the above, and I would just add to those life experience as well.
Yeah,
of my novels
absolutely.
Have a message of acceptance, forgiveness, reconciliation, and unconditional love, because those are things that I have struggled with and have conquered in my own life. So, but it's all of that. It all works together.
Wow. Now, for those of you just tuning in, I am speaking with award-winning Christian fiction author Wanda B. Campbell. We're discussing her latest novel, Back to Me. So, Wanda, tell us a little bit about some other characters in your story. Were there any of them that you found that maybe they almost took over the book, or they would have if you let them? And if so, how did you keep them in check?
Well, Back to Me is a little unique. This is my 10th novel, And so I tried to do something really creative to commemorate that. What I did mm-hmm. is I connected characters from seven of my best-selling novels into Back to Me. So now mm-hmm. all of my novels except three are connected.
Wow.
So readers, they don't only get to hate Paige, which is what I get a lot about her character, but they also get updates on the Simone family from First Sunday in October and the other novels in between. And so, in fact, the hero, or who Paige considers the antagonist, Sergio Xavier, he's a Simone. And from their first meeting, those two are like oil and water. They can't stand each other. He calls her rude and self-absorbed, but he keeps coming back, much to her discontent.
Of course.
He doesn't bite his tongue, and he challenged all her misguided views. So it's interesting to see how they evolve. I also, from previous novels, I have these ride or die prayer warriors, Mother Scott and First Lady Drake. And, you know, I'm old school because I've been in church so long. I remember when they had the mothers in the church. And mm-hmm. these mothers, they are modern day. I mean, they mean business. They're going to tell you about yourself, and they're not going to bite their tongue. But they ride or die. They'll be there. They have your back, too. So, and they're up to their usual no-nonsense, get you saved by any means necessary antics, okay? And they also challenges Paige's misguided view. So she gets it from all ends. And then I have some new characters, young girls, younger generation, that Paige, she's supposed to be helping these young women, but she's so busy judging them, she almost misses it.
Right.
And so the prayer warriors, they always almost take over because they're just hilarious to me, and I have to tone them down. Or this is Paige's story, you know. So,
I just
love them because, you know, I get to say what I really want to say to some people through them.
Right. So, you're living vicariously through your characters again.
But yeah, but I really enjoyed them. And the funny thing is, Lisa, they all speak in my head. I don't know, as a writer, you probably understand what I'm saying. They all start talking.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, okay, calm down, you know, another story, or, you know, but.
Right.
But yeah, it's sometimes I just have to turn them off.
Right, so you can finish it. You'll just be there forever, just, you know,
listening
to them go on and on. Now, it's just amazing how time flies, isn't it? You look up and you've just finished your 10th novel. Can you tell listeners a little bit about your next novel or series and what you have in mind for the readers?
Well, I'm currently working on a sequel to Kayla's Redemption. I don't remember what number the book that was. I think it was 6 or 7. But anyway, we're doing a follow-up to Kayla's Redemption. However, Jasmine, one of the little young divas, and Back to Me, that she's been talking to me, and I might go on and start a series with her. It's a younger audience, but she's a high school student, but she has a lot of flavor, a lot of flavor, and I like her. She has no lips. She's daring. She speaks her mind. She's assertive. I mean, she just could go any place. So she's been talking to me, and I'm thinking about starting a series with her as well.
That sounds like, you know, that would be good, you know, and I think that, you know, would also tie into the younger generation and, you know, some of the issues and angst that they deal with, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I think that's, you know, definitely a really good, you know, opportunity to, you know, touch the young kids. And, you know, you've got, as you said, three grown children, so you are well aware that I'm in the midst of it right now, the whole teenage thing.
Because
there are days I'm just like, oh, when are y'all leaving?
Okay. Well, they come back, so. I used to ask the
same
question.
That's true. Food and laundry
and my friends
are just,
say,
you know, not off limits.
Yeah, you know, so I'm just, okay, whatever.
Now, I ask the next question of every writer just because I think it's pretty cool because nobody really answers it the same way twice. So I'm going to ask you, name one thing you've got to have when you're writing and why.
Okay. Now, let me preface this by saying I am not a fanatic, okay? But I just have to have my favorite musical artist in my ear when I'm doing the writing. Okay, and I love this artist. I give acknowledgments to him in every one of my books. I have flown several places to see him, just to see him. You know, and if I ever move to Houston, I'm going to Lakewood. But Israel Houghton, I mean, I love his music, and I hope to meet him one day. But
I have to
have it somewhere in my head, in my iPhone. On my iPod, and I just have to have it.
Now, isn't it just an amazing, isn't it, how, it's like I said, everybody has something different, but it's like something that just works for you, and you have to have it. And do you find that listening to his music works for all your scenes you could possibly ever come up
with? Yeah. Well, okay, now, when I do my little romance, I don't listen to a man. I got other music for that.
You got that off to the side. Just got a little more other stuff to work with. That's a whole different playlist.
Yeah. But I have to have my music. And it really helps. It really does help me. Stay in that zone, so to speak.
Right. Now, I know that family, friends, and the biblical journey of your characters is very important to you. What else is something that readers are guaranteed to get in a Wanda B. Campbell novel?
Romance and more romance. Because the reality is I am a true romantic at heart. And I write Christian fiction, but I say Christian fiction romance.
Right, you know, because why not? I mean, I think that, you know, just because it's romance, it doesn't mean it, you know, has to just be a certain way and that's it. Or it has to have sex scenes in it, or it has to be this way, or it has to be that way. It's just, I think that just because, you know, you may not necessarily, you know, have sex scenes in a romance novel does not detract to me from the fact that it is still romance.
Yeah, and then
you know, you still have those elements in there. You still have boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. You still have, you know, happy endings and just deep relationships built out of love and respect.
Yeah, and I think it's important to show readers that Christians are romantic, you know.
We don't
church and dance, you know.
We're not all Paige McDaniels in the beginning, right?
Yeah. You know, we do intimate things, and you know, so I don't have sex scenes, but you know when they had sex, you know, so I don't need to, you know, be grabbed, but you know.
You leave us at the bedroom door.
Yeah, you know, and I just think it's important to show that part of Christian life, because a lot of people miss it. And they don't see that part because it's so busy. Don't do this, don't do that. And then one thing one of my personal pet peeves is when two Christians get together and y'all can't even call each other by pet names. You got to be Bishop this and First Lady this.
Oh,
I'm like, y'all at home, can't y'all have a first name?
Right, can't you just have a little up a little bit?
Can you be human a minute, you know? So I like to show, hey, we're just as relational as everybody else. And also like to show that, you know, my characters don't always get it right. Sometimes they do fall. They do fornicate on occasion, you know, because we're not perfect.
Right. Now, Wanda, what's a sage piece of advice you can give to aspiring new or even veteran authors listening out there?
Well, I would say, you know what, be true to who you are in your writing. And write about things that mean something to you. You can entertain, or you can use it as a ministry, but make sure it means something. At the end of the day, you're just not putting stuff down there. And make sure you're true to who you are in your writing. One thing this has taught me, and I was totally unprepared for it, believe it or not, is the feedback I get from readers. And a lot of people have questions. A lot of people are in these situations. And if it didn't mean anything or I didn't care about it, I would just brush them to the side.
Mm-hmm.
But so if you're going to write, be willing, be prepared, write, be true to who you are and write something that's important to you. So when people come to you, you'll listen. You won't just push it to the
right.
Side.
So, like, you know, be prepared for the fact that, you know, your story has the ability to touch other people in a profound way, in a good way, a bad way, an ugly way. It still has the ability to touch people, and that in and of itself gives you a certain responsibility, you know, because we, you know, as authors, of course, we write for ourselves, but, I mean, you also, come on, you write to have your story heard by others. And so I think that, you know, that definitely is something that is great when authors are open and they are willing to, you know, respond back or, you know, answer when people have questions or a comment or something like that.
Yeah, it really is, and it really became alive to me my second novel, Illusions. It was about a pastor addicted to pornography. And when I started getting email from people saying, this is my life, and I was like, whoa, you know. This is serious, you know. So just be prepared for that, because that's not something I really prepared for. I mean, you know, if I'm ministering in church, yeah, you think about it. But I wasn't thinking about it during this book, that people would actually share like they share. But it's really, you got, it has to be more than just something you do. It has to be a part of
right.
you.
Now, before we run out of time, because it's just amazing how time flies, I want to make sure that you tell listeners how to get in touch with you.
Well, my website is WandaBCampbell.com, and that's Campbell like the soup. I also have a Facebook page, Wanda B. Campbell, and I have a readers group as well, Wanda B. Campbell Readers and Supporters. I'm also on Twitter, and I love old-fashioned email. wbcampbell@podcast.net. I love it. I answer every email, okay? I just love it. So
I do, too. I mean, I love writing. I love writing. I wish, you know, some people would still wrote letters, but apparently not.
I know.
I really think it's cool. You know, it's like, oh, I can't even imagine the day when, you know, there's like no more books or, you know, something like that. Because I know my kids, they didn't even, I think they stopped teaching cursive writing in school because why? The kids just didn't do it because they texted so much or they emailed or they talked. So I was just like, just devastated. I'm like, what?
Oh,
what do you mean?
God.
There's no cursive writing anymore. Wow.
Yeah, I'm old school. I still buy paper books. I don't even have an e-reader. I like to read and write.
Right. I have an e-reader, but to be honest, I don't really use it that much. I do still love books, and I still love trying to position my, because I like reading laying down sometimes, and I try to position the book so my head doesn't hurt, but yet I can my arm doesn't fall asleep. I can still hold the book. It's just crazy. Now, Wanda, I think we got time for one more quick question. Do you have a favorite character in your book?
In Back to Me?
Or just any of them?
Okay. Well, in Back to Me, believe it or not, Paige is my favorite character. And the reason why is because I can relate to her struggle, because I spent a lot of my time trying to be different things and be accepted, and just instead of just being who I am. So I can relate to that. And then she's kind of funny. You know, seeing her evolve is kind of funny. So I do like her. But all my characters, I like them. I really do.
Right.
There's not one character I would want to get rid of in any book. I just like them. They become a part of your family, you know?
Right. It's definitely true. Well, Wanda, I cannot thank you enough for joining us tonight. It has been such a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.
And you can we'll definitely have to get in touch and commiserate a little bit more and talk a little more. And I want to thank our listeners out there for joining us here tonight on Readers Entertainment Radio. And don't forget, you can find us on readersentertainment.com. I am your host, Lisa Watson
In Faith Network Radio.
Saying good night and have a great evening.
www.infaithnetwork.com.
Good night, Wanda.
Come join our ever-growing Christian community.